The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
A choice right now, between fear and love. It's just a rock.
Out of the dark night of ignorance and into the shining light of truth.
Expanding reality.
A population of citizens capable of critical thinking.
We don't see things as they are, we see them as we are.
There's a level of reality where everything dissolves into an ocean of energy.
We empower our experience by insisting on our authenticity.
That's very profound.
Very.
Expanding reality.
Welcome to Expanding Reality. I am your host, Brandon Thomas. On this incredibly cool episode, Todd Cave joins me to talk all things esoteric, down the deep rabbit holes we go. Now, all of the ways to find him, Conscious Man number 7 podcast, as well as his link tree and the legit bat chat that we did over there, will be located down below. Now, also located down below is a link to, number one, support your favorite show. Number two, get access to the afterthoughts that we do for these episodes. And this one, you're definitely going to want to catch. We go over, he'd never heard what demon face syndrome was. And so we definitely talk about that. But it goes really far, guys. Glitches in the Matrix, NPCs, Matrix in the Bible. We really go for it on this one. So definitely check that out. Located down in the show description, as well as all the ways to find Todd. Now, I guess that's it. Without any further ado, Todd Cave. Todd. What have you been up to, bud?
Thanks for having me, Brandon, and I'm really honored to be on your show. And it was a great show that we did with Legit Bat and then on the Polymath as well. Two great episodes. So I'm really happy to be here to talk with you and your listeners. And me, I've just been doing a lot of podcasts and, you know, me coaching my clients because I'm an online fitness trainer. So I help spiritually inclined people burn fat and build muscle. And between that and just editing loads of videos and life, I've been good, man. You know what I mean? Like, since I started to do the podcast, I have found a new lease on life because the way I describe it is like, it was like a missing piece in my life. And for a person that like resisted to do this whole podcasting thing for basically 2.5 years, it is amazing that, and it just confirms what I say, is that the things that you resist the most are the things that give you the most growth and add the most value. And even though I knew that, you know, sometimes we tend to forget that that is actually the case when it's in our own situation. And in my situation, I just call it the voice because there's nothing else I can call it. The voice woke me up to sleep. And said 2 words, 2 podcasts. And ever since then, internally, I've been feeling like different. I always felt good, but it was like, I get up now when I have this feeling like, yes, I fit into the universe. I'm adding value. I'm helping people, you know, I'm respected. And that's a really powerful feeling to have as a human being, because I think that subconsciously, all humans know that our purpose here is to help add value and to produce light. And when you start producing light to a level where you can see visible impacts, because I get people all over the world messaging me, telling me, thanks, Todd, for sharing your content. And, you know, your insight has helped me to connect a lot of dots. And I never thought like I would have an impact on people because I never really gave it. I was just like something I did. But when I got the calling from the voice, it shifted my own paradigm. And now this is something that will be part of me going forward because I do like it. I'm good at it. I'm helping people. I feel like I have a purpose in this chaos of a world that we're living in. So for me, even though times are looking very dark, I'm feeling very positive. And I've got, you know, one friend in particular that he has a very negative view on the world. But when you are getting feedback from people that are telling you, please do not stop. You've helped me connect dots. Everything you said has made sense. And I just had a blind spot before and you've helped me see that. For me, that really makes my day. And for me, I see like the world is a beautiful place and it's not all this doom and gloom that they're trying to push down our throats. I mean, do we have problems? Yeah. Name a family that doesn't have a problem in it. And we're like one big global family, right? So obviously we can have our tiffs here and there. But I think ultimately, when we start to work on ourselves and get into shape, start eat better, do things like meditation, read books, you know, hang out with people who are positive and not just think that the world is doom and gloom, I think that you start to see, you know, that how good the world really is. And because you're building it from the inside out, because as above, so below. So the inner is what creates the outer. So when you have that as your focus, you know, you build your inner, because even Christ said, my kingdom is not from this world, right? And he says the kingdom of heaven is both inside of you and outside of you. But he said inside of you first, which means that's where you start, right? And this is the trick that I think that a lot of people are missing in, even in this space that I am in. I mean, yes, I talk about conspiracies. Yes, I talk about spirit, like ancient hidden history. Yes, I talk about all different manner of things, social damage between men and women. But ultimately, our job here is to go inside and find the kingdom within and build from there out. Because the more we keep focusing on Camel Toe Harris and Sleepy Joe and, you know, what's going on in the UK with the riots now, yes, it's good to know about these things, but where you put your focus is where you put your attention. And where you put your attention is where you put your energy. And where you put your energy is what creates your reality. So for me, thank you very much. I understand what's going on, but no, thank you. I'm not going to consume that and I'm going to keep that inside of me. I'm going to keep it away from me to protect my energy and space. My advice to everyone that's listening to this podcast is to do the same. Focus on you. Focus on what vibrates with you. Focus on things that add value to you. Focus on things that help you to improve. Focus on the solutions and not the problems. Yes, the solutions bring the problem, but it's a change in vocabulary because problems tend to have a negative connotation in terms of energy. When you're talking about solutions, it is more positively laced. And once you start to get into tune with energy like that, it's an absolute game changer. You start to see the people that basically bring you down start to fall away. Not that you stop talking to them, they stop talking to you because you're no longer feeding their crave for negative energy. And, you know, and this is why I do podcasts now, to share that positive energy, touch, move, and inspire people as well to get into shape and you know, get strong, because I am a fitness trainer, but I am more than that. I am a person here that I've chosen to help humanity in as much ways as I can, and sharing my consciousness and my love and my light is part of that. And I do this because I love it. And, you know, a lot of people out there, they don't have the right intentions. But me, I want to see my brothers and sisters rise, because we're under attack. And the only way that we're going to change the world is if we change ourselves. We can't focus on other people because the path is narrow and few find it. And Buddha even says you take the middle way, right? And when you look at the Kadusha symbol, the allegory between that is that two serpents around the staff are representing the tree of good and evil. But on one side is good, on the next side is bad. So the two factions that are fighting against each other, sometimes they do good things and sometimes they do bad things. And the key to enlightenment and illumination is to go through the middle way. And then when you get to the top, you illuminate because you connect your crown chakra into source, literal software. And then you grow your wings, and your wings just represent illumination, which means that you're flying at a higher level of consciousness. So this is what we need to really, really focus on, is on the spiritual aspect of what is really going on, and not get too caught up with the physical and what we see, because what we see is only a microcosm of what is going on in the unseen. And the unseen is happening in here. We are producing this entire matrix because of our acquiescence, because of our brainwashing, because of our conditioning, and because of our self-sabotaging. And once we realize that we are the ones creating it, we will work extremely hard to find the mighty I am inside of you, as what Saint Germain calls it. You can call it the Christ, you can call it the Kundalini, you can call it the Krishna, you can call it whatever you want. It's the exact same thing, just different words, same thing, you know. And I like the I am as well, because when you look at Christ's most powerful words, he spoke through the I am. So he was speaking through his God self. So a lot of people, especially in Christianity, they have the whole concept of Christ wrong. Christ is not a person that you worship. First of all, Jesus was never his name. Jesus is an egregore. It's a construct, right? And if you look at the meaning of egregore, you would understand that it is basically a thought form, a non-physical thought form that is produced through the concentrated attention of a certain group of people, or a select group of people. And by using the word Jesus, we're actually making that egregore continue to live. His name was Yehoshua or Yeshua, whichever way you want to pronounce it. And he became the Christ. The Christ is a spiritual office. It's a consciousness. It's the ability to be the God-man. So this is where he spoke through the I am. When he said, I am the truth, the way, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. So when you speak through the I am, you are invoking your God self inside of you. You're connecting to the spirit inside of you, the mighty eternal I am spirit, which is what connects you back into source. So I kind of like the I am, but other groups of people call it the Kundalini. It's really the same thing, you know, but we have to channel that, and we need to not get bogged down specifically on if a word is a synonym, that we're trying to prove that this synonym is better than the other one, because they're all the same thing. You know, it's like, we have commence and start. Well, are we going to argue that which one is better? Because commence and start mean the same thing. So, you know, when we start to look at words and etymology, and we realize that, because even the word Christ comes from Greek, Christos, and it went to Latin and it became Christ. And when it went to Sanskrit, it became Krishna. So they're the exact same thing. And when you speak through the I am, you manifest that thing immediately, because you say, oh, I am tired, I am sad, I am hungry. That thing becomes a reality when you use your God power. So the same way you can use your God power for negative, you can use your God power for positive. And this is what I try to teach. And I try to, as my message, tell people that, no, we have to take back our power, because we're under attack. And you can say whatever group of faction it is, but if we just take a step back, the world is a very, very weird place right now. And it's just going to get weirder and weirder and weirder. And I think that right now the charges for the demolition have been set. We had some huge, huge movements in the stock market right now. So they're playing with our money. And when they do that, from reading the tea leaves, the next agenda will be either a fake alien invasion, a real alien invasion, or a combination of both. But what will happen is that human beings will fall to the knees of these beings, whether fake, real, or a combination of both, and we will worship them. Because if you just look at cargo cults and you look at the Pacific Islanders that went to these islands during the Second World War, and when the GIs landed, these cults made wooden planes. They made effigies of these people and of like the guns, and they worshiped them just because they got some spam and other little trinkets that the GIs gave them. And when you when that happens, where we see beings that have great power or appear to have great power, because it may just be advanced science, because the between real and magic or spiritual, those realms are going to be somewhat blurred and merged together, so we're not going to know which is which. But human beings will fall to their knees and worship, and that is really what has been prophesied. So I think that this is why I focus on the things that are in my control, and the things that are in my control is making me a better person, working on myself. So, you know, I'm actually here organizing an ayahuasca ceremony for myself, because, you know, the medicine always tells me when it's time for me to visit her again. And, you know, so I practice what I preach in that sense, because right now I can see that things are changing in my life. And I just want to check back in with the mother to see what little other changes I need to do and how I can help more, because it's all about helping now. It's all hands on deck. And those that are not having hands on deck in some form or fashion, whether it's supporting independent creators like myself and you, you know what I mean? You have to help in some form, because these people that rule the world, they're not our friends. Government is not our friends, and no one is coming to save us. We have to save ourselves. And the more we save ourselves, others will get touched, moved, and inspired to save themselves. And that is how we actually change the world. It's actually like when you put a pebble into the water, how the ripple just goes and goes and goes. You may not see it, but it goes right to the end of the riverbank, and then it comes back to the shore. And that is what we're going to do. Just by one pebble, we're going to change the world. But you are the pebble, and you change yourself. And by you changing yourself, others around you will be inspired, and they'll change themselves. And that is the message that I'm trying my best to communicate in a way that can get past the programming of people, because we are very programmed, and the brainwashing is incredible, because they got us to put face diapers on for what, 2 years, for something that, some illness that you had to take a test to find out if you actually had, and you weren't actually sick. So if you can do that, who knows the type of magic they can come with next, you know what I mean?
What do you think to the idea that as you create your reality, it spawns up around you? And so the idea then that you are the creator of this place is the way that it manifests in front of you. Are you under that idea?
Yeah. So because, yeah, go on.
Well, I was going to ask then, where do you pick up and the programming leave off? In some people's observations with this, it seems that the manifestation idea seems to be that you're constantly learning how to manifest rather than to actually, let's say, bringing to fruition the things that you're attempting to. And what's fascinating about this is it seems that folks that I've talked to in the manifestation world especially, you know, it is an observation that you're constantly needing to align to something rather than just seeing what the experience of it is, right? So it seems like this carrot on a stick idea, and that's why I was just wondering what you thought about it. Where does, you know, the program that we're in that teaches us how to manifest, where does that, those training wheels get taken off and we take over as the actual creators that are able to create without all this, you got to align first, and you got to do these mantras first, you know, kind of a thing? Do you know what am I asking the question properly?
Yeah, so I am in bit of both camps where I think that you have to, it's something that you have to constantly do, because if not, what's going to happen is that actually there's always another level. There's always another level to things. And I think that is a journey where you learn, and then sometimes it would just happen. And then you would ask yourself, well, how did they do that? So then you have to work backwards. What was really the protocol that you follow? And then you may try that, but something may not work. So you have to try something else. Or then you get coaches that can actually teach you to do it. But even they tell you that there's no specific time when it will happen. It will happen. But for my journey as well, what I have realized is that what tends to cause manifestation to not work or work in the time that we want is our subconscious programming. And if at a subconscious level, there is a doubt or fear that this thing will not happen or will happen, it depends on what it is, that thing will or will not happen, depending on your subconscious thoughts. So the you have to believe and know with every fiber and particle in your body that this thing is a certainty. It is going to be done. Because what I have learned is that the key to manifesting or to make things come to fruition is it uses the 80-20 rule, which is similar to fitness. In fitness, we say that 80% of your results come from your nutrition and 20% come from the actual exercise. While a lot of people that want to get into shape, they tend to focus heavily on the training and not so much on the nutrition, which is why you will see that people will get some good results in the beginning and then the results will taper off. Now, in terms of the manifestation side or trying to become something or create something, we tend to focus 80% on the doing. But what I have been learning of recent is that it is 80% your mindset and 20% of the doing. Because if you're in the right frame of mind, you have the right mindset, you can make the right choices at the right time that would tell you, okay, invest this money and this time now or in that person, instead of focusing on you doing the actual doing. Because what I've been realizing in my own journey is that the more I focus on my mindset, the better I am able to handle the challenges that come, because I'm able to make better choices. And like I tell my clients, the better frame of mind you're in, the better choices you make. The better choices you make, the better your life becomes. The better your life becomes, the happier you become. So you are creating a positive feedback loop. And what happens is that the more you feed that, the more things are going to change in your life. But if you're just focusing on the doing, what's going to happen is that if your doing is not aligned with your mindset and your mindset is in a negative place, it means then that you may take money to invest in the business or a person or whatever at the wrong time, or it's the wrong person. So you're so focused on the doing, but because your mindset is not there, your thought process, your vision is not clear, you're going to make mistakes. So instead of us focusing on the doing, focus more on the mindset. So it's not just saying affirmations. It's actually what it really comes down to is removing all of the fears and traumas or the things that cause you frustration. So things that cause you frustration might be that friend who is very, very negative, that all that person does is talk about how bad things are, how bad this person is, just spewing a lot of negativity. And your subconscious is picking that up now. And then it's going to, like I said, it's your subconscious. So it's not your conscious mind that you're using to think. It would be in terms of your actions and reactions. And then you will think back, but why did they do that? And it will all come from the subconscious mind. So it is a bit of learning gradually. Then it's also a part aligning to something. So you would have, like Joe Dispenza, he calls it an elevated emotion and with an intention. So it's a bit of both. So I sit in the camp where I think it's both of them, but the mindset is the 80% part of it, while the 20% is the actual doing. And then under that now is using the elevated emotion and intention. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's where I sit, because, you know, it's almost like if now humanity is trying to come off the training wheels as a collective and try to learn all these higher level things, and all of this information is just like available all over. But the problem is that we have very few teachers. And, you know, a lot of people are I guess, maybe afraid of it because it will challenge their paradigms, especially like the ultra religious people, no matter what religion you're in. So that is a bit of a quagmire there for most people, because the idea of religion sounds good. But the problem with religion is that there's dogma, and then religion becomes an intermediary between source and yourself. And then that means that the intermediary can steer you in an incorrect place and make you do things or think things that are not necessarily in your best interest. And this is what we've seen. Religion was co-opted several thousands of years ago. So what we have now is just brainwashing, propaganda, programming, and they all have bits and pieces, but they don't have the entire story, which is the problem. And there are a lot of religions now, that religion of money, religion of government, and organized religion. These are the three religions that I say all the time are what create the Matrix.
Oh, you said the Matrix. So let's definitely talk about this. Now, another one would be the Matrix of or the religion of aliens and worshiping sort of these craft in the sky. Again, that you mentioned that people will receive this high technology or this perception of a better life because of their, you know, presence in their life. And it's interesting. So do you think that that's sort of a new belief system in itself? And then let's definitely talk about the Matrix. I want to know what you think that is. What does it mean when we say the Matrix?
Okay. So the first question is that I do think that people will worship these beings because let's think about it. We have, when you go back to antiquity and you look at the indigenous peoples from all areas of the planet, all of these people have said that they were basically either seeded here by extraterrestrials or direct offspring of them, or they were created by them. The stories, whether you want to say that they're myths, they all have a very similar story where they were created by beings that weren't here, that are not from Earth. This is why you call them extraterrestrials, because the root word for Earth was Terra. And Terra, terrestrial, extra, meaning other, extra being outside, so not from Earth. So that is just, I just had to break down the etymology for people to understand. So extraterrestrial may not necessarily be green men. It just be just not from here. So they could be advanced humans or human looking, but just not from Earth. And we have this thing, just look at celebrities. When people see celebrities, look at the worship. There's this adornment. Now people will say, oh, but I know that they're just a celebrity, but just look at the way people behave. This almost bowing down to them, this screaming, this freaking out, this is really worship, right? And look at what one-sided political aisle does, where they get all the celebrities to come in so they can keep getting votes, right? And they know that celebrities have pull for the non-informed people, and there are a lot of non-informed people. So this is why they continue to do it. And in terms of the Matrix, my take on it is that the Matrix is basically everything that the entire system that we have, which is the governmental system, the legal system, the health system, the education system, the what else systems we have, the monetary system, the religious system. This entire system together is what I call the Matrix. And then now, to take it under another level, social media, I think, is the equivalent of the actual physical Matrix that was in the Matrix movie. Because, I mean, yes, I use social media, but I use social media because I'm a creator. So it's a medium for me to exchange my ideas with people, right? So I do think that you can use social media for good. But what's happened is that they've rigged it to make it to promote just so many debauchery. And you look at people that will produce that kind of content compared to people like you and I, and they get way, way, way more views and interaction than us. And that's because the system is rigged. Now, the Matrix, funnily, the Matrix is actually not a creation by modern man. The Matrix is mentioned in the Bible 5 times. So if people think that, you know, whoever wrote the Matrix was just a bit clever, well, I would say they were clever, but they just put things to show us that, you know, I mean, they're controlling, they're showing us what it really is. And the Matrix movie had a lot of hidden spiritual aspects and a lot of meaning in it that only the trained mind or the open mind would pick up, because Neo is a representation of the journey that all of us have to go on, which I call the hero's journey. And that journey, he was the one. You know, it is akin to like being the Christ. But when I say the Christ is the realization of who you really are, right? So the consciousness of Christ has a lot of levels in it. Yes, you'd be able to heal and do all these amazing things, become the Christ. Because, for example, just on a very small tangent, there's a book that I would recommend people read if they think that these things are not possible. And it's called The Life and Teaching of the Masters of the Far East. I repeat that. The Life and Teaching of the Masters of the Far East. It is an extremely big book, but a little history about this book before I come back to the Matrix is that this book was collated by about 30 Western American scientists, and they went to the Far East between 1890 and I think 1922. And they recorded everything that they saw these masters doing. So this is an account of their notes. And these masters would be able to do very incredible things. Like, for example, they could read your thoughts. They could heal you. They could walk on water. They would make things manifest like that. There was this one time where the scientists were going for dinner and they walked in this room. And when they opened the room was pitch black. This is up in the Himalaya mountains. And when one of the masters entered the room, with every step, the light, the room was being illuminated. And when they got into the actual room itself, they just blinked and a table appeared. Then they would just be like, wow, what's going on here? Then you would see chairs appear. Then you would see cutlery appear, food appear, beverage appear. Then you would hear an orchestra playing. These are from their notes in this book. Very long book, very great book. And one of the scientists asked one of the masters, well, if y'all can do all of these things, why aren't y'all more in the open and people can see? And it was very interesting, his response. He said that we had to shun ourselves away from humanity because humans don't want to do the work on themselves to become like us. They only wanted us to do stuff for them. Like they're sick, you know, heal them. If something happened, fix that. If someone died, bring the person back to life, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they're saying that humans, before they can really come back into the world, humans have to get to a point where they're ready to actually do the work on themselves. So it was not only Christ in the biblical story that did these things. These masters did the exact same things, which means that we can do those things as well. So in the Matrix now, you have like Neo going through a hero's journey. Because when you get to the Matrix 3, then it's almost like this death and resurrection, which is symbology of when you become your new person. Because when Christ basically, the allegory of Christ is that you die to yourself or you die to this world. And some people may have to physically die. Others, it may be a spiritual death. And others, maybe an emotional death, whatever death is a death to your old self. And then you are born again. So it's not physically being born again. So the Christians have it half right where they say, oh, I'm a born again Christian, but you're only doing an incantation and reciting a few words and doing a ritual, but you've not changed your internal structure, your internal belief system. You are not changing your mindset. You're not changing how your body vibrates. This is what being the Christ means. That death and rebirth is what it is. And the Matrix movie, from looking at it several times, it is basically a documentary of the world we live in. Because if you look at the world now in 2024, man, I think that it is like, dude, we have people. So Kamala Harris picked her VP pick yesterday. And this guy's a socialist. You know what I mean? Like, straight up socialist. So what we're having now is that we're having this Marxist, Leninist, socialist ideology being put in the government, which is, if people don't realize, is an illegitimate, malevolent, unnecessary evil. But let's take that out for a second. We're going to put basically they want to put communism down our throats. They want to ram it down our throats. And just look at Venezuela. That stuff doesn't work, right? So they want to turn the United States into a Venezuela. And that worked out really well the last time. But I guess as all communists and socialists say, well, that was just that country. So we'll get it right this time. If you believe that, then you believe that your healthcare system is there to keep you healthy, and that all these letter agencies are there to keep you safe, you know? So if you still believe that, well, I'm very sorry, but I don't think you will understand the message that I have today, because you would need to first understand that everything is fake and it's just theater. The whole world's a stage. Men and women are mere players, according to Shakespeare, aka Francis Bacon. So, you know, I think that, you know, we still have a long way to go. Even though I'm very positive, we have a long way to go. Because they're, dude, people in the UK now are just going at it. And this is what I've said on podcasts, is exactly what's happening now. The system is crumbling. And what they're doing is getting us to do their work for them by us fighting against each other. And the more we fight against each other, the more enslaved we become. And it's because I am right and you're wrong. But what if we're both right? Right? But then at the same time, why don't we have a truce and take it to them, take it to these elites that are running the place and say, no, we're not having no more. We're not having any more. But again, it will cause us to have reconciliation. And that seems to be a bad word at the moment between the factions fighting, because we're just the pawns doing dirty work for them, because they want to kill us out. But they can't just kill us out by force. So what you do is you co-opt the society. And you bring in a lot of migrants, promise them a whole heap of stuff, give them loads of freebies, and then you protect them as a class. Then you disenfranchise the locals there, or the people that immigrated legally to get the status to be a, like a local. And then you just put a few little bit of, you know, and discrepancies or disagreements between the two groups, and boom. Stir the media to fan more flame heat to wind to the fires, to the flames, and then boom, it evolves and erupts. And this is what we're having now. And I'm telling you, the United States, I reckon that this November, something like that could very well happen, because I don't think there's a difference between if Camel Toe wins or if Trump wins, to be honest.
It's going to be wild. It's going to be really crazy either way.
Yeah, because, all right, think about it. Let's say Trump wins. Now, what is really, really accurate is that he's very, very popular. There's no way she could be as popular as him. No way. She can only fill a gymnasium, my man filling stadiums and places that can easily hold 50,000 people. She, in 2020... she had a drop out of the race because she got, what, maybe 1% of the vote to try to be president in, on a Democrat ticket. And then she was made vice president. So you have a person that struggled to even win people in her own camp. She got 1% in the vote. And then you extrapolate that to 160 million people that can vote. You're telling me that if it's an honest vote, that she would beat him? Man, you could hate Trump all you like, but that other side, man, they're some radical, man, right? I mean, and I'm a political atheist. I don't believe in government, but I'm just kind of like shocked. So then now, let's say he wins. He could very well do to them what they're doing to him and unleash the state and do legal warfare on them. Now, if he were to do that, a lot of skeletons in the closet will come out and people will realize that these people are not as nice and clean and bonafide as possible. So they will probably not allow him to take over, and they will probably do something to create martial law.
But isn't that what he promised last time, to drain the swamp and that everybody was going to come out?
But this is it, right? So, but I do think that if he does 10% of the things that he said he's going to do, let's be generous, 25%, it will still be a massive problem for them. And it means then that there's some things that will end up coming out, because we still have big, big issues like the Epstein list, Ghislaine Maxwell. You know, we have big stuff like the reason why Ukraine is such a hotbed is, remember those 33,000 emails that Hillary Clinton had deleted? Well, those were stored on servers in Ukraine. That is why Ukraine is heavily protected, right? And then also they have illegal labs over there, and it's also a place for child sex trafficking and all that kind of stuff, because it goes from Ukraine into Syria, and this is why they wanted to basically keep Syria under fire, on fire, so that they can have cover for all these illegal stuff. So let's say he does a quarter of what he says he's going to do, and he tries to get these people out. Let's say he actually tries. Well, he is going to be stopped so much that it's going to become obvious that the system is corrupt. So what's going to happen is that people will wake up and realize, hold on a minute, well, this guy is trying to do something, but the system is actually stopping him from doing it, which means the president actually has no power, which a lot of people don't really realize. So that's an awakening for them. Or if Camel Toe wins, she will basically have to, they will have to cheat on a level that is so grandioso to win, because.
But isn't that what happened last time?
Yeah, but it's gonna be, I think it has to be 10 times bigger.
But this is the thing though, right? And then this is, I guess, my next question, honestly, is do you think it's real? Like, do you think that it's real?
That's a good question. So yes and no. The reason why I say yes and no is that we only have, and this is for all governments, this part I'm going to say, the government only becomes the winner because the media tells us. We don't actually have people that can actually go and verify the results. So in that respect, I think it is all stage where Trump could have actually won, which I do think happened, but the media got their marching orders and they were told to report. And if you own 90% of all media, then you control the narrative. So you just tell the people that Sleepy Joe won, and that was it. Everyone had to accept that. None of us could go and check the ballots and see, and, you know, spend 2 weeks counting on our own. You know, they weren't allowed, right? And then there's an interesting...
So one could say that it's been like that forever, right?
Absolutely.
Nobody would go back and count any of it. So
absolutely. Absolutely. But then if you actually looked at what really happened, about 3 o'clock, there was a huge spike, like ridiculously huge spike. I think from memory, it was like 10 states that pushed Sleepy Joe over the line. And all the ballots basically went to him. Because Trump was leading from the get-go, like from literally when it started counting, he was leading. And about 3 o'clock, just magically, boom, all of these ballots started to come in, and they were for Sleepy Joe, and he won. So I do think it's a combination of stage and then basically the make it happen by just cheating blatantly. And any stories, because don't forget, anybody that was on social media that was trying to argue that it was a fraud and they were cheating, they got canceled. I saw YouTube channels that I supported for years got pulled because of that. You know, never were able to go back on YouTube again. So there is a combination of it, they're having to do certain things and it being staged, and the media just get their marching orders, because, like, dude, I think this time they're gonna have to cheat on such a big scale. It's going to be so grandioso that average people that would call us crazy for saying the things that we're saying and they actually say, you know what, Brandon, you might have a point, because this one here was like something right, you know?
Do you care about that?
Not really, but what I do is I still mention things to people to try to give context on where we are and what's happening. And what the reason why I also talk about it is I say, look, this is the thing that they're trying to distract us with. It's just bread and circus. So again, I'm going to repeat, you put that to the side and you work on yourself. Get in good shape, start to get storable food. If you live in a country that has firearms, pack up on bullets, guns, gold, silver, and crypto, right? And get a bug out bag, because like I said, if Trump wins, they're going to fight in the street for sure, because they're going to send in their whatever, you know, I mean, group it is that they're employing at the time. Could be the Muslims, could be the Black Lives Matter, who knows? Because they're all fronted by the same entities. And if he doesn't win, I think it will be on a grandiose scale that they're cheated. And I do think that people would not take it this time. And I think that that might actually be part of the agenda, because I think that having massive hysteria and panic and chaos is the agenda. So I don't actually think, this is why I said I don't think it actually matters. I think people will be in the street regardless on if he wins or she wins. And if that's the case, it means that they still get their objective, which is to sow chaos. Because remember what it is, what it says, order from chaos. So this sounds like a really good opportunity to me to get loads of this chaos in there. And then what they can do is that they possibly could crash the economy at the same time. Then they could try to induce CBDCs, central bank digital currencies. And then if people don't go along with that, bring in the aliens, whether fake, real, or a bit of both. And then, boom, humans will start to worship. And then they would, the extraterrestrials or the fake extraterrestrials, whatever, they could come and say, well, you know, we're going to work with the government and we're going to, you know, help you all get out of this situation. And through the back door, you know what I mean? They can just got us again. So, you know what I mean?
It's funny. Well, it's funny to think about like the second coming, but it's like demons and stuff like this. And so this revelation idea, it's just an idea. I don't really throw into the game there. I just think it's interesting. But this idea of like demons and stuff being here, and they're physical and they're huge, but they're more what we've been told aliens are. And that's what demons really look like the whole time, is what grays and lizard people and all that. They tossed them in there because they're like, hey, we want to run around too. And it seems like at this time, everything's going to be opened up to where these things can just walk among you. And it's almost like a deal that they have. If there is a they and there is a deal, it seems like that this is their time to just sort of walk around. They're like sitting over there going, hey, it's almost our time. You better start prepping people. So over the past how many years have we had these, you know, planted ideas in movies and TV shows and comic books and all that stuff that aliens are real and it's always been military versus or whatever. And then you think of then this demon face idea where the news is telling you that you're going to start seeing demon face, but it's your fault. It's your syndrome. It's called a demon face syndrome. Have you heard about this shit?
No, I've never heard of
it. Oh, my God. We're going to look it up. We'll do it in the afterthought, which we'll get to here in a second. But one of the most funny things about this is it just seems that there's going to be some shit running amok. Now, whether it's holographic in nature or anything like that, I don't know. But it just seems that we've been prepped, and with the blue beam idea that it could just sort of kick off this time period. They're like, ah, shit, yeah, we got to let the chimeras out. We had to deal with them. Okay, let's kick off blue beam, because then that'll give people a reason to think that there are things just walking around here now, and that's just the new normal, you know? It's just interesting to contemplate that sort of idea of how it's going to be apprehended and to what end, and if it's real at all, because we hear a lot, man, right? We talk about and hear a lot, but how much of it's actually happened? You know what I mean? It's just interesting when you break this down. I tell you what, dude, if you don't mind, let's go out on this, and then we'll run into the afterthought, because there's a few things I want to talk to you about. We're definitely going to talk about NPCs and then this demon face syndrome, probably some matrix in the Bible. I want to know more about that. So
sure.
We always want to give you, the guest here, the audience, an opportunity to give the audience the reason that you get out of bed every morning. Now, I'm going to remind everybody here that you're Conscious Man 7, your link tree, all that stuff is going to be located down below, and as well as our legit pad legit bat pod conversation, man. That was a blast. We had a great time. Joe asked me to co-host when his other co-hosts were working or doing something, and we just had an awesome time. So I'm going to go ahead and link that for everybody to go give that some love as well. So my friend, just an amazing conversation. You're welcome any damn time, dude, and I'm grateful for you and our experience. But before we let you run and get into this badass afterthought, what gets you out of bed every morning, man?
No, what gets me out of bed is knowing that I am actually making a change. I'm actually having a small impact. And that is really heartwarming for me because I never envisaged myself doing this at all. I resisted it for a while. I was always a very private person. I always was that guy that would always be in the background. Even when it came to girls, I would get pretty girls, but I would just keep that on a low where no one knew, almost like a sniper, right? Because, you know what I mean? The quieter you are, the more girls you get, right? So that was always my sort of style. And now I'm actually out in the public talking about these things. You know what I mean? I remember the first time I actually put my email address on my first podcast. This was surreal, where I'm actually doing something contrary to how I used to be. And that was a massive breakthrough for me. And the messages that I get from people saying, thank you, Todd, for sharing the information. Please don't stop. I support you. Please keep sharing. Please keep helping. And the messages that I get, and they're piling up. So even though it's taken a while for me to get back to all my messages because I reply to them, sometimes I get 20 a day. So it's next level for me. But I'm really, really thankful for all the support that people have given me and people like you that have allowed me to come on their platforms and to speak and to share. And so doing podcasting and speaking is what gets me out of bed. I feel I'm actually always excited with every single show I'm going to do. It's almost like this feeling inside of me like a child, where it's I'm going to get my favorite food. So just doing something that I really, really like and I love. Even doing I have to edit my own videos now and stuff, then even that doesn't seem like a chore. It's just part of the process and I love it. So getting out of bed knowing that I am helping people in some form or fashion, because I help people in many different ways. I am an online fitness trainer. So as I said, I help spiritually inclined people burn fat and build muscle. So I help you to get into shape. And I also help people on the mental aspect, where I come and share, information like this on podcasts and, provoke thought a little bit. I mentioned many times, I didn't do it today, but actually I mentioned one book, but I always mention books for people to read. And if anyone wants to check out some of my stuff, you can find me on Instagram at Adriano_246. Or my name, Todd Cave. And for those that are interested in really understanding how come I think the way I think, I actually have in my highlights, there's a section called books to read. And I think there are 45 books in that section. So there's a post attached to it all, to each one. So you can see all the sources of my information and how I think and why I think the way I think. And then I also help people on the spiritual side, because I help people get magic mushrooms. So I work with a company, a local company, and I help people to get magic mushrooms, which will help you to remove fears and traumas. So now that because I do all three of these things, that makes me feel like I'm helping people in some form. So if I can't help you to get into shape, I can help you with the information sharing on podcasts. And if I can't help you there, or I can help you in another way, I can help you get magic mushrooms. And I appreciate all the people that help and support me, because I've had a few people that have reached out to me, and I really appreciate all you all. And this is why I reply to all my messages, even though it may take me a couple of days, but I'm becoming a little bit Brandon, where the inbox is becoming kind of full. But I love it. I have no problem. So if you message me and they don't get back to you immediately, is because I've got loads of messages, but I reply to everyone and I always say thank you. Because without you, there's no me, and I do this for you. And, you know, I try to help people become their best selves. So because we're a mind, body, spirit complex. And if you want to support my podcast, I have a merch store. So if you go into my bio, you will see my link tree. There's a merch store. But you can also search it on Amazon with Todd and Me Clothing. So the and is the sign and, the symbol and not the word and. I just put clothing and it will come up. Conscious Man 7 shirts and also Todd and Me, because the brand, the store is called Todd and Me. So yeah, if you want to help support the podcast, because I'm looking to get some better equipment, a better equipment computer to edit videos and put out, you know, better quality stuff, mics and all that kind of stuff, you know, because as you grow, you upgrade and you get better stuff, you know, because I'm making this a big part of what I do in my life, and I'm here to stay, and I'm going to be trying to, you know, sound the alarm and educate, touch, move and inspire people, inform with everything that's going on. I mean, I don't know everything, but I know a little bit, and I can connect the dots in a small way that may add value to people. So all of that is what gets me out of bed, and I absolutely love it. So again, you can find me at The Conscious Man 7 on Spreaker, also available on all major platforms. But Spreaker is the best one because you get a notification when they upload a new podcast. And then my Instagram is at Adriano_246. So hit me up if you want some magic mushrooms, or if you want to work with me and get into, you know, really fantastic shape. Because if you look at my profile, you see I'm in good shape. So, and I'm 42. So no one says that you can look like this in your 40s. It's impossible. Well, I'm sure that that's not true. So just want to say, my brother Brandon, thanks for having me on your show. And I look forward to doing it again and sharing some more consciousness with people, you know.
Just want to take a moment here and thank Todd K for coming by and asking some awesome questions, sending us down those interesting rabbit holes, and we will be contemplating them shits. So want to steer your attention down to the show description down there, and that's where the links can be found for that amazing man right there. Go take his fitness class. He's fit as shit, so I definitely would check that out. Now, his link tree, his Conscious Man 7 podcast, all of that are located down there, so check that out, and thank you for being so sweet and kind and just reaching out and telling him what a great job he did and how cool he is. Now, look at it down there as well. It is or are. I'm going to say are the links, but it is one link, but it's located in a couple places. So we're going to say is links located in a couple of places to support your favorite show, as well as get access to the afterthoughts, the hangouts, all of that kind of stuff. And this one, actually, we do Matrix in the Bible. I get to explain to him what demon face syndrome is and a few other things, man. We have actually a blast. Todd's an awesome hang, and we really go for it on this one. So support your favorite show down there in the Is Our Links, and that's about that. And I just want to remind everybody to go out into this wild-ass realm. Full moon's going on. You got weird energies. You got all kinds of shit going on. A lot of, air quotes, distractions looking for your attention out there. Just, you know, choose wisely who you're offering it to and who you're offering your attention to. You know, clean up that drawer with all the batteries in it in your kitchen and shit. You know, do that before you get upset at that email or that comment or, you know, some of your mother-in-law said, whatever. Anyway, go out into this beautiful place while you're doing all that as well and pick up a piece of litter. Get out of the left-hand lane, you know, just because you got somebody to pass there. Number one, I believe that's the law, and that's the only time I'm just going to kind of go, hey, the law says, and that's about it on that. But get the fuck out of the left-hand lane. You got somebody to pass. That's about it. We live in a society. So what's left of it, right? Other than that, guys, go out into this beautiful, magical place full of all kinds of stuff and just be good to one another, you know? Sending love to you all. Thank you so much again for liking, sharing, supporting, and just being badass, man. You guys really are just fucking awesome. I'm always grateful to talk about, air quotes, my audience, which I consider y'all family more than anything, but the audience that's chosen to take this ride with us. I really appreciate you guys. I always love bragging about you to other podcast hosts who have arguments with their audience members and shit. I'm just grateful we don't. I just think that that's cool, and I love y'all. And you're all crushing it. Listen to that little voice, not the loud ones. Those loud ones are liars. But love you all, and we'll see you next time.